Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good evening. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Glad to have you with me here this evening. I've got my new computer here. I got a brand new MacBook Pro, and I mean, it literally, I just finished setting it up in the last 5 minutes. It's the one with the touch bar at top. So we're giving it a try today, and we're broadcasting live on Facebook as well, at the facebook.com/theresurgenter/EW Erickson. We got a ton to talk about tonight. So I've been gone. I was at Lake Oconee, enjoying myself, my time off. Got a cabin at the Oconee Golf Course that the Ritz manages. Wonderful time, by the way. Absolutely wonderful time. And the people were wonderful. The place was great. And I can't tell you the number of people I ran into there and the number of people who have texted me, direct messaged me, emailed me, and they all said the same thing. You know, I wasn't a fan of his, but these liberals are really making me love him. The complete meltdown by the left is staggering. Protests in Atlanta. Do you know there was a protest in Portland, Oregon? A woman was trying to get to the hospital. She tried to explain to the protesters why she needed to go to the hospital. It was an emergency, and they told her she wasn't going to have health care under a Trump administration, so she might as well get used to dying. I'm not making that up. In Washington, D.C., I thought this was Photoshop, but I've now seen the picture enough and from different angles and talked to eyewitnesses. Protesters actually held up a sign that said, "Rape Melania." That would be the future First Lady of the United States. The meltdown by the left has been enormous. Now, listen, they're saying they want you to believe that they are protesting the hatred, misogyny, bigotry, and nasty things Donald Trump has said. If that's true, why are they holding up signs that say rape Melania, end the Electoral College, dump Trump, he's not my president? Those are taking issue with the choice of the American people. If he was Barack Obama, they would be screaming racism. This isn't a disagreement over policy. This isn't we want him to be kind and nice and to apologize for past. He said, no, this is we don't like the choice of the American people. This is whining. This is not a protest of some undemocratic action. This is a protest against American democracy. Our constitutional republic has a constitutional system by which we pick the president of the United States, and they don't like it because it hasn't worked in their favor. The American political left really decided after 2008 and then again after 2012, they were accountable to no one. They never had to answer to anyone again for their policies. And so they went on a rampage. They targeted Christian businesses. They put these businesses out of business. Baronelle Stutzman, I wrote a book about this. You will be made to care. Baronelle Stutzman was a florist in Oregon, or Washington State, rather. She had a gay couple that regularly used her business to get flowers. They asked her to provide flowers for her wedding, and she said no, she couldn't. She was a Christian. It violated her faith. They went on about their business. They hugged. They cried. They went home. One of them put something on Facebook. The attorney general of the state of Washington, who wanted to be the governor of Washington, targeted Baronelle Stutzman. She's lost her 401k. She's losing her home. She's losing her business. They even recommended to a judge that her dog be taken from her and sold to pay a judgment because she didn't want to bake a cake. You know, with the adjusted exit poll, and the exits were terribly wrong on Tuesday night. They were terribly wrong a week ago. They've been readjusted now because we know what the turnout was. And you know what the models show? A lot of people were really upset that the left wants to put men in their daughters' bathrooms. A lot of people were really upset that the left wants to drive Christians out of business. A lot of people were really upset that the left is targeting nuns and forcing them to pay for abortions. These cultural issues, the left won't admit it. They can't admit it. The media can't admit that people are reacting badly to left-wing cultural imperialism. The left says they want diversity, but they only mean skin color. They want homogeneity when it comes to thought. You're not allowed to think different from the left. And well, it turns out a lot of people do think differently from them. And they went out and they voted for Donald Trump on Tuesday. They got him elected when the left did not think he could get elected. And now the left is throwing a temper tantrum. Again, the left doesn't have a problem with the election. They have a problem with the election outcome. They don't think the election was unfair. They think that Donald Trump was elected and that's a bad thing. If this had happened to Barack Obama, they would be screaming racism. If someone had held up a sign saying rape Michelle, this would be the lead story on all of the network news tonight. Instead, they'll bury it. They'll claim it was Photoshop. They will ignore it. The left is saying that they've learned their lessons. The New York Times is saying they're going to redouble their commitment to honesty, which suggests they haven't been committed to honesty. And what are they doing? They're already holding Donald Trump to standards they never intended to hold Hillary Clinton to. They're holding Donald Trump to standards they never intended to hold Barack Obama to. They're holding Donald Trump to standards they never intended to ever hold anyone to the left to. They are holding Donald Trump at his words in ways they never held Barack Obama. Barack Obama said, take a gun to a knife fight. Oh, well, that was just political rhetoric. But Donald Trump is serious. The left is bringing so many people to terms with Donald Trump. There are so many Republicans who were hesitant to support Donald Trump, didn't like Trump, didn't think he could get elected. And they're all fans of his today because the left continues to overplay its hand and continues to refuse to learn its lessons. They are marching in the streets of Atlanta, Georgia, against the lawfully, legally, fairly elected president-elect of the United States. Not because the system was rigged, but because they don't like the outcome. If they're going to behave like children, we should treat them like children. They should be seen and not heard.
Eric Erickson. He really does deliver behind-the-scenes information on today's big stories every day. 5 till 7, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
I feel like I need to address, and why have I started saying this? So I listened to a podcast, it's a tech podcast, and the guy who runs the podcast, instead of saying, I think, he always says, I feel, and he means I think, but he says, I feel, and it annoys me, and now suddenly I listen to it so much, I've started saying, I feel like, I think that I should address this to the Democrats among you. I gotta tell y'all about the hate mail I've started getting. This is actually pretty funny, but to the Democrats in the audience, you've set a bunch of precedents with Barack Obama we warned you about. I want to get into that when we come back. But now you probably are wondering about the restraints on the presidency. Why don't you go to ericforhillsdale.com and sign up for the course on the presidency, where Dr. Larry Arnn, the president of Hillsdale College, who I hear is being considered for a cabinet appointment, by the way, he kind of breaks down with the other professors of Hillsdale College the presidency, what it can and cannot do, how the powers of the presidency have expanded, how to restrain the powers of the presidency, what Congress can and cannot do with the power of the purse, the power of appointment and nomination and consideration. And I tell you, you probably want to do this. I've taken this course before, and it's actually well worth it. It's a great historic perspective on the American Constitution as well. Go to ericforhillsdale.com right now. Sign up for it. Learn about the presidency. Okay, I got to tell you guys about the hate, because for the last several weeks, I've gotten all the hate mail from the Trump supporters, and then some of it's still coming in. I'll never listen to you again, you mother. Somebody called me. A woman called me the C word. Well, now the left, because I've said, you know, I got the election wrong, and we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. If we got the election wrong, then we probably got a lot of other stuff wrong, and so we should give him a chance, give him the benefit of the doubt. And now I'm getting emails from people, I knew you would sell out, you traitor. Hang on a second. I got to find one in particular. Where is this one from? Hank. And I didn't think anyone named Hank was a liberal, but apparently so. You Jesus peddling son of a sorry, Mom. You were never Trump until you knew it would impact your ratings after he won, and now you've decided you have to grovel and kiss his hiney, we'll say. I never should have trusted you. I knew you were going to sell out, you fat piece of poop. This is from a liberal now. Listen, dude, you lost. You lost the election. Giving the benefit of the doubt, you were wrong about him. I mean, maybe you're wrong now. Have you ever thought about being a little humble? And I'm getting, I mean, that's just the most recent one. I'm getting tons of these. The left has come unglued. The precedents that they've set for the president, though, it's starting to dawn on them. We'll discuss when we come back. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. You know, I haven't given the phone number tonight. I wanted to get a bunch of stuff off my chest, but now we'll open the phone lines. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also get the show on Facebook.com/TheResurgent or /EW Erickson. The precedents. For 8 years, how many? Now, I've only been on radio for 5 years, but I've been at Red State since 2004. And since the president got elected in 2008, I and many others on the right have said, you know, guys, y'all are setting a lot of precedents for the president. You might want to consider that one day the Republicans we'll have the White House again. No, you'll never have the White House again. I mean, literally, people would deny that the Republicans would ever win another election. So it did not matter what precedents the president set. It's very hard to say precedents the president set, by the way. But I'm a professional. So they set all these precedents, the executive orders. Remember, the president has a pen and a pad. He can do an executive order. Doing in runs around Congress. Ignoring congressional orders on spending. Rewriting laws through the Internal Revenue Service regulatory process. Expansions of regulations. All of these things President Obama has done because he had a Republican Congress who he claimed wouldn't work with him. He didn't want to work with them. Proved it with Obamacare. Shut him out of the process. Completely ignored him. Oh, by the way, that was a precedent, wasn't it? Yes. The president controlling the White House and his party controlling Congress, they didn't even have to talk to the other side. They didn't have to do a thing with the opposing party in the minority. It was a precedent set by the president. In fact, they could pass legislation without knowing what was in it. You had to pass it to find out what was in it. That's another precedent set by the president and his party. And Republicans, conservatives, say, wait a second, guys. Not a good idea here. You probably want to just take it easy on these precedents you're setting. Nope. Republicans would never again have the presidency. And so now guess what's happened? The Republicans have the presidency, and not only do the Republicans have the presidency, but they have both houses of Congress as well. And the president of the United States and the Democrats cheering him on, no less. They've done all of these things. They've set all of these precedents that they have, I mean, out of the woodwork. They've done all of these things that now Donald Trump can not only do them, he can take advantage of those precedents. Donald Trump can take advantage of the precedent of the president of the United States ignoring a minority party if it doesn't control any house of Congress. Donald Trump can take advantage of the precedent of the president to write executive orders, to do in runs around congressional legislation, or not even have to have congressional legislation if the Democrats filibuster. Oh, wait, there's another precedent. The Democrats scrapped the filibuster for judges. The Republicans can do it for Supreme Court nominees. Does the Democrats only did it for lower court nominees? A precedent set. And now they're starting to realize what guys like me have been talking about. And I have no sympathy for them. I mean, I think these are dangerous precedents, regardless of who's in the White House. The presidency of the United States, regardless of which party controls the White House, has gotten too powerful. There is a need for the presidency to grow in power at times of war, but then shrink. And after George Bush left and Barack Obama became president and said we were no longer at war, he refused to scale back the presidency to non-wartime levels. Because, you know, the Democrats, they have all sorts of wars. The Democrats have a war on poverty. The Democrats have a war on hate, a war on discrimination, a war on intolerance. All of these things, the Democrats have these wars. And so the president couldn't give his power up. He couldn't scale the power back. Well, guess what? Because he hasn't done it, Donald Trump has all that power. He has all that presidential weight. This is what I've been warning you guys about for years. And you Democrats, you've called into the program and you've said the Republicans would never take back the White House, so you didn't care. You had the power and you would use it. Well, now you don't. And you can't complain. Because we warned you, and you thumbed your nose at us and said the Republicans, despite your lack of sense of history, you said the Republicans would never take back the White House. Well, tick tock, time's up. Our turn now. It's the Republicans who control everything and all that power, and you gave it to them. You set the precedents. Let's go check traffic with Doug Turnbull out on 285. Thank you, sir. Let's go to the phones now. William in Albany. My goodness. My friend William, who was in my wedding. How are you?
Hey, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Great. I got a question and a comment, and I think I know what the answer to the question is. The question is, what are we looking at for the Democrats? Is this where they lost in 68 and came back crazier in 72? Or is this like they lost in 88 and they come back ostensibly more middle of the road in 92? And then the comment is, I want to swap dinner in Atlanta for an autographed copy of your book.
I can make that happen. You better watch out because I think my wife is like in the process of gearing up baby clothes for you. She stalks your kid on Facebook, I want you to know.
You got a wonderful wife.
Well, you would know. So, folks, this is my friend William, who I hadn't talked to in forever, and he was in my wedding. Okay, so here's my gamble. In fact, I'm glad you asked me this because I actually have this. It's an op-ed coming out in the New York Times, I believe, tomorrow. And my gamble is the Democrats are probably going to do what the Republicans did after 2008 and completely melt down and go to the left because they did not believe that they should have lost. And to the extent that they lost, their early analyses are that Hillary Clinton pulled her punches too much and didn't embrace Bernie Sandersism to bring his voters out, and that to win again, they're going to have to go full left. I suspect that's where we're headed. Now, again, my track record, though, folks, I should never play predictions again. But this is the point I made in this op-ed for the New York Times, is that the Democrats are now where the Republicans were in 2008. The Democrats didn't think they were going to lose. They didn't have someone running on the legacy of the president. So they went back and they refought all the fights. They fought them and they decided the exact opposite in 2016 that they decided in 2008. The base of the party was unhappy with that, in the same way the base of the GOP was unhappy with John McCain in 2008. And so what they're going to do is they're going to decide, when you look at the data, the Democrats right now fully believe Hillary Clinton lost, one, because of James Comey. It's all his fault. She would have won otherwise. The data doesn't suggest that's true. And two, they think that she pulled her punches, that she should have gone full left. And do you know one of the things that they're blaming? I kid you not. This is in the conversations they're having right now on the op-ed pages of America. Bill Clinton, he criticized Obamacare. How dare he, according to the Democrats. In fact, my buddy William, who was just on the phone, he wrote a great Facebook post. I linked to it on mine, where he said, you know, if the Democrats had listened to Bill Clinton, he tried to save Hillary's campaign by making her campaign on Obamacare, and the Democrats threw him under the bus. They should have listened to Bill Clinton, but they couldn't bring themselves to do it because Obama is their precious, and they must protect their precious.
The information you need, the truth you demand. Atlanta's Evening News with Eric Erickson, WSB.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Glad to have you with me. Folks, have you been into Mattress Firm yet to get a new mattress? If your mattress is more than 8 years old, you need a new mattress. My wife and I are having to rethink this now. We've got so many people come to our house for Thanksgiving. And, you know, Mattress Firm is the place to go. Now, why am I an endorser of Mattress Firm? I'm off script tonight. They've got great sales, and they got all the big brands, Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest, Serta, Sealy, you name it. Here's why I am a loyal Mattress Firm customer and why I've been using them. I got a big policy here that I only like to do advertisements and endorse products and services that I used before I got into radio, or not before I got into radio, but before I started advertising for them. And with Mattress Firm, they're one of them, because Christy and I had such a bad time finding a mattress last go round. We spent a ton of money on a really nice king size mattress. I mean, we spent more than $2,000 on the sucker, and it was awful. Worst night's sleep, and the department store wouldn't let us return it. And we had to shell out more money. And we took advantage of a Mattress Firm sale, totally by coincidence, by the way. Didn't realize that. I walked in having gone to other places. Not only did the salesman tell me I could take home the mattress, and if we didn't like it within 120 days, bring it back and get a different mattress, but they did same-day delivery, and I've been hooked ever since. Great customer service, good people, a huge selection. If you don't have to take my word for it. Go to Mattress Firm if you need a new mattress. Now, when we come back, we got people on hold who want to ask about the Trump transition. I've got some data on the Trump transition. Several friends of mine are actually involved in the transition process. And, well, Attorney General, Department of Defense, Secretary of State, and, well, Chris Christie, what's he going to do? And also in Georgia, why did Cobb County go Democrat? Why did Cobb County go for Hillary Clinton? Republicans in the state are beginning to purge conservatives from leadership roles in the legislature over Cobb County. They're reading the election wrong. I will tell you all about it, why they're wrong, when we come back.
Running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good evening. Welcome. It's the second hour here, 6:12 at WSB, and well, it's dark outside, and if it wasn't dark, it'd be like looking through fog. It is smoky. I took my drone up today and got footage of just how smoky it is. Terrible visibility. We were in over in the Highlands earlier today, the Virginia Highlands area. My wife wanted to go to a shop, and I mean, it was just you smelled so thick. It was even worse, actually, south of the city. And just tip of the hat to all the firefighters who have come in from out of state. We've got people from Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, firefighters of New York, all over coming down to help us put out these fires. Set by arsonists, it appears, and just pray for some rain. We could definitely use some rain. Now, I want to go on here and start this hour with a phone call from Scott calling from Ball Ground. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Eric, how are you tonight?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, listen, my question is, I was just wondering if your opinion on who the potential Trump attorney general picks may be. I've heard some speculation that Rudy Giuliani may have that locked up. I would certainly hope that he's open to some other suggestions like Trey Gowdy. Just
As a matter of fact, Scott, my understanding from members of the transition team is that Rudy Giuliani very much wants to be the attorney general, and Rudy's going to get what he wants. He can't decide yet, however, between state and attorney general. They're looking at John Bolton, the former UN ambassador, and Rudy for Secretary of State, and they're also looking at Rudy for AG. Trey Gowdy does not want it, from what I'm being told. Gowdy had considered running against Paul Ryan, but he thinks he's better left suited in the House of Representatives. And now maybe he'll change his mind, because part of Gowdy's thinking had been as well previously. He wanted to go after Hillary Clinton, and once that works out of his system and he realizes that's not going to be possible or probable now, maybe he'll change his mind. But from what I'm being told by members of the transition team, whatever Rudy Giuliani wants, Rudy Giuliani is going to get. Now, that does lead me to someone else whose days are now gone and over, Chris Christie. He's out. Mike Pence has taken over the transition, and all of this has to do with the Bridgegate situation in New Jersey. That scandal has dragged down Chris Christie, and he is now out of favor within the Trump administration. Donald Trump, of course, still likes Chris Christie, thinks very highly of him. But from what I'm told by members of the transition team, there's just they can't bring him into the administration. It would be scandal on day one. Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, is being touted as defense secretary. Linda McMahon, of the WWE, who was also ran for the Senate in Connecticut, is being looked at for Commerce Secretary. Randomly, Herman Cain's name is also being floated for Commerce Secretary. I don't know whether Herman wants a cabinet position or not, but several friends of mine told me his name is on the short list there if he wanted it. But Linda McMahon is favored, apparently, for the Commerce Committee or for the Department of Commerce. Those are the ones I know. Jeff Sessions in particular looks to be substantive, significant, and real. And then the issue is what Rudy wants. And multiple members of the transition team and people close to Mike Pence as well, who's now leading the transition team, have all said whatever Rudy wants, Rudy gets. Trump intends to be extremely loyal to Giuliani, and if that means AG, well, then that's going to be AG, and the Republicans in Congress aren't going to say no to Rudy Giuliani, whatever he wants. So that's the lay of the land there. Now, let's pivot from there to the state. There now appears to be a purging in the state legislature of conservatives. William Ligon in the Senate has now been replaced with John Kennedy. Now, just so you know, John Kennedy is actually a dear friend of mine. But Ligon is viewed as a much more of a conservative stalwart than Kennedy by members of the legislature. And it looks like members of the legislature are also after conservatives in the House, primarily over the religious liberty issue. I'm going to be interested to see if Johnny Isaacson does pick up the ball on religious liberty legislation in Congress now with the Trump administration, particularly as the Baronel Stutzman case, that's the florist out of Washington State, continues to make its way through the court system on appeal. That's going to be a big issue, the religious liberty front. In Georgia, Governor Deal promised to pass RFRA if it was conformed to the federal standards. They passed it conforming to the federal standards, and then he vetoed it anyway, having said he wouldn't do it. I suspect this is going to become a federal issue now that the Republicans control everything. It should become a federal issue, limited to the issue of marriage. No one that I know of in a credible position believes that a law should be passed that says a business can say no gays allowed. I don't know if anyone who wants that law. I mean, there are fringy people out there, but no mainstream normal Christian wants that. But there are people who want a federal law that says you cannot be punished for your refusal to participate, provide goods or services to a gay wedding. And I suspect that's going to take some federal clearance. Now, this is different from the original RFRA. The federal government said, or the Supreme Court said, RFRA only applied to the federal government. The states would have to have individual RFRAs. But because of equal protection is a 14th Amendment issue, and the 14th Amendment gives Congress plenary power over equal protection issues. So this can be a congressional issue. It's going to become a big fight here very soon, which is why actually some people are a little concerned if Rudy is the attorney general, there might be some obstruction on that front. But you're going to see conservatives in Congress probably double down on this issue very quickly.
The information you need, the truth you demand. Atlanta's Evening News with Eric Erickson, WSB.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. So in 5 minutes, the Bulldogs play the Bulldogs here on WSB. That would be the Georgia Bulldogs playing the University of North Carolina at Asheville Bulldogs. I expect UGA to beat the Asheville Bulldogs. Nonetheless, so we'll be out of here at 6:30 tonight. Before I get out of here, though, I got to read you three headlines, and now my computer has gone to sleep here, so let me pull them up here on my phone, because this really is just the summation of why so many people on the right who didn't particularly care for Trump have suddenly come rapidly to terms with him. This is from Slate. In 2004, Slate, the site run by the Washington Post, put up this, in defense of the Electoral College, November 1st, 2004, once again, the candidate chosen by the people of the United States on Election Day may not become president, as in 2000, the election now appears to be close, blah, 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 blah. Wound up, George Bush did win the popular vote, but it was a defense of the Electoral College from Slate. In 2012, a title from Judge Posner, in defense of the Electoral College, five reasons to keep our despised method of choosing the president. That was 4 years ago when Barack Obama won. And now, today, the Electoral College is an instrument of white supremacy and sexism. Yes, the very Electoral College that saw the first black president of the United States elected, folks, that Electoral College is an instrument of white supremacy and sexism. No sense of history there by the left. By the way, as my buddy Dave, who writes with me at theresurgent.com, notes, the reason that you'll never get rid of the Electoral College is because support for getting rid of it is inversely proportional to the power of a party. Now, there are members of the Georgia legislature who want to tie Georgia's Electoral College vote to the popular vote, Republicans among them. David Schaefer, the president pro tem of the Senate, had backed it at one point. John Kennedy, the new caucus chair in the Senate, had backed it at one point. It's dead by all accounts now. Members of the House and the Senate here in Georgia telling me flat out dead. Why? Hillary Clinton won the popular vote and no Georgian wants to see the Electoral College go to Hillary Clinton. I told them this could happen, but it was all hypothetical. Now it's reality. This bill, it should be dead on arrival this year. I've been told that they're going to pull it. It's not going to come back. I hope they remember what happened. All right. UGA versus University of North Carolina coming up here on WSB. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.